So for this little part, and I'm watching the clock for you, you know, so you won't be late. For the private group that you spoke to last time in an uncensored environment completely, although what we've gone over so far is pretty unacceptable. It won't be on YouTube or anything like that. I'm thinking, what would they most like to hear from you, since we don't get to talk very often? And how do you resolve, you know, on the regular show, which will now be a week ago when people are hearing this, how do you resolve the issue that we ended with? The transmission, I guess you said, rather than transfection, is real, and that being around and in contact with people who have had one or more vaccines can be dangerous. What level of close contact makes that happen? And what have you decided to do about it? And how can you even tell? I mean, if you're out in public, you don't stop and ask everybody if they've had vaccines or not. So what do you do in real
life? I'm a big fan of, as we all are, those of us that are doing this work, big fans of prophylactic ivermectin. Because ivermectin helps to block the transmission of the spike protein. It globs onto the spike protein and helps to neutralize it. It blocks the ACE2 receptors from binding. It's got more than 22 mechanisms of how it actually works to help and protect your body. It also wards off a whole lot of other RNA type of viruses. So I take ivermectin on Mondays and Thursdays. And when I'm going to go on an airplane, or I'm going to be out in a crowd, or places that I'm going to be shaking a lot of hands with people, I take an extra dose or two. And I take 50,000, if I'm going to go on an airplane, I take an additional 50,000 IUs of vitamin D, you know, to really boost up my vitamin D level, because that's a very protective thing. I've had two very significant exposure, you know, transmission events. They are not pleasant. And I've gotten to the place now where I go to like public events. I don't like to do a lot of handshaking with people and a lot of hugging with people, because I don't know who's been injected or not.
What was that one in the Midwest where a lot of the people who were presenting got really sick after it?
Yeah, it was probably a big deal.
Yeah.
I prefer not to say.
So handshaking is enough to transmit what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
What about being in the vicinity of somebody?
Well, they don't think it's aerosolized. So it's not, because it's a heavy particle. So it's something that spreads by contact or on surfaces that you contact and things like that, you know? But the ivermectin, I think, is really, really protective.
Okay, and now ivermectin is known as one of the safest drugs in history.
Correct.
But it's still a drug and it's got a side effect profile. What is there anything about it that you're aware of that has any negative effects?
It's safer than aspirin. It's safer than Tylenol.
Right.
More people die every year of aspirin and Tylenol. There's been something like 6 billion doses prescribed. The only thing that we know for sure that it has a drug interaction with is Coumadin, which is a blood thinner, and it makes the blood thinner work too well. It thins your blood too much.
Right.
It doesn't like stop it from working. And so, if you're on a very high dose, inappropriate dose, it can cause some tremors, a little bit of neurological complications, but that's extraordinarily rare.
Okay.
So I don't think about ivermectin as having a bunch of side effects.
Almost completely safe. Very close to that. Yeah. And what's your feeling about the interesting fact that it seems to work on, you know, it's well known for parasite situations, and it also has this interaction to prevent spike protein infection.
It's just the way that it's made, and it's made to, I mean, it's the way that it's made, the way I understand it. I haven't dug real deep into the chemistry because I don't really care. All I know is it works. I don't really much care about how it works.
Right. And speaking of parasites, you remember Dr. Maddei's presentation of the pictures with the man-made and natural parasites in the injection. Are you aware of any further knowledge that's come up about that? Because this could partially be parasites too.
not so much about the parasites, but I'm more concerned about really than the nanotechnology and the microcircuitry that they found that has to do with the transhumanism things they're doing. And I want to just circle back to one additional thing you asked me about. What can people do?
Yes.
One of the things they need to stop doing is looking for a physical solution to a spiritual problem. They need to stop seeking a physical solution to a spiritual problem. They got the shot in the first place because of fear or convenience. Yeah. They turned their back on God and made a reliance to the pharmakia, the pharmaceutical industry, the actual sorcerers. They turned their back on God and chose to lean into for their safety, for their lowering their fear, for whatever, they chose the sorcerers over choosing God. That's a spiritual problem.
It is.
And they need to resolve that and get that back online. And they may, regardless of what there, you know, happens with them physically, because they may still have to suffer the consequences of that physical, of that choice, because it was a choice. Nobody put a gun to your head, and very few people got held to the ground and injected. So this True. was a choice that people made, either actively, passively, or coercively. Nonetheless, people sat down and rolled up their sleeve. That was a choice to choose a pharmaceutical product made by the same companies that are convicted felons and have paid billions and billions of dollars in fines for murdering people. But somehow people made the decision out of fear, which is a spiritual problem, made a decision out of fear to trust that product.
So you're recommending a protocol of therapy for that, of changing priorities back, right?
Yeah. Yep. Back to what your spiritual foundation is.
Right. Spirit first.
Absolutely.
And then you may have to do some things on the physical level too, right?
Well, maybe, but you're not going to repair your genes. At this point in time, there is nothing available yet that can go in and repair the genetic damage that you made and hooked you up through the quantum entanglement by choosing to be injected with this product. Isn't or allowing it, yourself to be injected with this product. However you want to define it, you rolled up your sleeve.
Maybe you know of something. I haven't seen it, but I don't know of any legitimate use of mRNA technology.
There isn't. And that's the one thing that bothers me when I listen to all the things that Dr. Robert Malone says. He's supposedly one of the inventors or the co-inventors of. He's not renounced it. He said, "Well, you know, this was really a bad deal. I should have never been messing around with this stuff. And now that we see that the genie's out of the bottle, you know, I'm really sorry that this happened. It was meant to stay in the lab. He's never renounced it ever.
It needs an apology. Actually, I mean, it was well-meaning, because people in the technological mindset think if it's like from the quote from Jurassic Park, if it can be done." They don't ask whether it should be done. They just do it.
And it makes me wonder, and I don't know, I know Bob Malone. I've met him at conferences we've spoken at together. Yeah. It makes me wonder if all of this stuff about trying to renounce all this stuff and don't get your kids and all this stuff, he knows that he's ultimately one of the people responsible for this.
I think he's trying to make up for it.
That's my thought.
You know, and it's just at the moment, maybe it's too emotionally threatening to actually apologize.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know. But, well, you just have to do the best you can, and spirit first, and then everything else follows, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I just want to put a plug in for my own organization here. People want to support what I'm doing. You can go to drtenpenny.com and please consider joining our podcast, which is $20 a month. You get 8 podcasts for that, with stuff that's not anywhere else. The interviews that I do are not posted anywhere except in our podcast. Okay. And I think you'll be really thrilled at what we're planning for all the additional things for this year. So that's really important. Yeah. And then please also go to thetenpennyalliance.org. thetenpennyalliance.org. We just completed today, as a matter of fact. That's why I really have to run. Is our business plan for starting the new healthcare system that, you know, we're kind of like the truckers. We got tired of hearing everybody talk about we needed it. So right. We sat down, rolled up our sleeves and developed a business plan. And we're raising money to make this happen. If you go to the 10pennyalliance.org, you can read all about it. We'll soon have a portion of our business plan up there that people can read, the public business plan. And we're making it happen. In fact, I know this will, after the fact, but this coming Friday night, uh-huh. I'm going to be in Dallas for a big fundraiser that we're having there, because we're starting in Cleveland, because that's where I live, but we're going to create healthcare clinics that are non-discriminatory, and they're going to have early aggressive treatment for people that need it. And it's a big project that requires funding to get it off the ground. I mean,
so who can come on our show just to promote that and ask for funding and do something with that? Because I'd like to do that.
We can have my COO, my chief operating officer, come in and talk about it.
How do I get in touch with him?
I can connect you to him.
Yeah, because that sounds really important as a part of the new civilization that has to be created.
Yeah,
and I don't want to wait till the old one's dead. I want to do it right away. I just think that's super important.
What we're doing, honestly, nobody's ever done this before. It's pretty interesting what we're endeavoring on, because, you know, I've been involved in a lot of phone calls. Here it is. It's in your chat.
So he can explain the details of the healthcare system that's being created and all.
Well,
that.
And, you know, I've been involved with a lot of conversations of people that have got bright ideas. And I think ideas and strategy meetings, they're fun, but they're kind of a waste of time. Mm-hmm. I think of strategy meetings as kind of like popcorn. They're lots of fun and they make lots of noise and you got lots of ideas flowing around the room. But when right. you pick that one kernel of corn and you put when the rubber has to meet the road to uh-huh. drill down and design a business plan, buy the location, hire the people, raise the money, do all that stuff. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's what we've done. And so, okay. and so I've had a lot of people say, we need a new hospital. We need a new hospital system. Good luck with that. But that's not what we're doing. We're starting with clinics, manageable clinics on a right. smaller scale, that because you can't do a whole hospital at one time. And even if you could, how do you scale that? How do you create all of those? What we can do with this clinic is that we plan to roll this across the country momentarily, as soon as we get the first ones done.
And then it will be decentralized, which is a big advantage.
Yep, exactly.
Because it's harder to stop.
Yep, exactly.
Really a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. Take care.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.